The New Testament reading, which we'll be looking at this evening, is the last verse of Romans 6. It's Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, often we look for common ground between the Christian and the non-Christian. We might do that because we want to share the gospel with them, so we look for some agreed point to start talking about before we talk about our differences. It might be there's some sort of shared concern and shared action we want to take. There's things that bother us, that bother other people. But often it's hard to find that common ground, or very much of it. And it's hard because there are some things where we are just the opposite. In fact, at the bottom level, we are opposites. We have opposite values. We have an opposite way of seeing the world. And the root of those, this we could talk a lot about those opposites, but the root of those opposites are in the verse I just read. Now, we touched on this last week. That verse I just read is like a summary of what Paul said last week. But it's wonderful and rich enough to return to. Paul has summarized a point, and not just summarized the point, but in doing so, he returns us to a key theme of the book of Romans. And so it's a wonderful text to assure the Christian of their status with God. It's a great text to present to the non-Christian, or to equip us to present to the non-Christian. And the purpose in context, if you remember the last few weeks, is to motivate Christian living rather than, oh, well, it doesn't matter. And it shows that we don't move beyond the gospel. The gospel, God's grace, is a way in. And the way to move on is the same grace and the same gospel. So tonight, if you're a Christian needing comfort, if you are a Christian needing motivation, or if you're someone, perhaps someone online, watching in, not sure what this is all about, then this is for you as well. Now, the story so far, I'm not going to go over the whole of Romans so far, but the gist of it so far is that Paul has mapped out for us that sin leads to death and judgment. And there is no self-help program for that. There's nothing you can do to change that. But pure grace, a gift from God, that Jesus Christ takes our sin as his, and his righteousness is in, well, the word is imputed, is considered ours. And that in his resurrection, he's declared vindicated by God, and so we are declared not guilty by his resurrection. That's the story so far. But through chapter 6, and into chapter 7, that raises three objections. Well, if that's true, what I've just said, then surely we should sin more so that there'll be more grace. Because when you do sin more, there is more grace. And Paul says no, because you're united to Christ. In chapter 7, we'll look at it in a couple of weeks, he says, if the law's bad then, you know, then you're saying the law is a bad thing, we should have nothing to do with the law. Well, we'll deal with that in a couple of weeks. And then what we looked at last week, and this week, and next, is if we're free from sin, then there's no laws. So if we're free from the law, then there is no law, we can sin. If we're under grace, there's no law, sin away. And we saw last week, one reason is no, because there's a change of master. You're under a different system. This under grace doesn't mean the law doesn't apply. You're not under law, but it's not the law doesn't apply, but you're under a new master, God. And chapter 6, verse 23, nicely sums up our new condition. So this is what has happened if you are a Christian, and what needs to happen if you're not. And these verses show at least three opposites we have as Christians. Two masters, two terms, two ends. By terms, I mean terms and conditions, not school terms. So two masters, two terms, two ends. So the two masters are opposites, that is sin and God. Now, for most of the chapter, he was looking at the master. He mentions his obedience. Sin and obedience is the contrast. But he ends with sin and God. So slavery is the analogy he was using in the second half of chapter 6. And the point he's making is that we're not neutral. Spiritually, we're not neutral. There's all sorts of things where there's two sides and we go, well, I don't care. But you can't do that with God. Now, it may be that some people are weighing up what they think of where they stand. And then ultimately, once it's weighed up, they will fall one way or the other. But the choice itself is binary. Sin or God. And if you're not yet settled on which way you're going, well, that's absolutely fine. But that doesn't mean that you're neutral until you decide. You're a slave to sin. Either a slave to sin or a slave to God. So the issue is, whom are you serving? Who are you serving? Because you are serving someone. Everybody is serving someone. Now that to many people sounds too black and white. It sounds very black and white to me. If you're a slave to sin, if people are a slave to sin, then what about all the good people we meet, of which there are many? What about those non-Christians, whether it be from another religion or none at all, who are frankly better than most of us here? At least that's how it looks. Now we'll come to this verse. We see it's in a sense the wrong question. The question is not how much good have they done and bad have they left out, as if there was sort of cosmic scale, so to speak. Rather, the question is, who is their master? And if it's not God, it's sin. Even if the evidence is not there straight away, it will emerge, given enough time. And also it means they're self-justified. Now, at the heart of sin, you know, some kids' talks I've heard and things talk about, how do you spell sin? I in the middle. Bit of a cliche, but it covers a lot of what sin is about. I'm in the middle, and I've declared independence from God. And not only that, but my goodness is goodness on my terms, or some other terms other than God's terms. So if I live, whether it's by the law of God, or by my own standards or someone else's standards, I'm justifying myself. I'm saying, do you see how I have been good enough? In the book of Jeremiah, it talks about when we offer to God our good works, they are filthy rags. We think, what a good job I've done of this. And we present them to God. God, you must be so pleased. And he goes, filthy rags. They just won't do. When we judge by good works, ours or someone else's, the bar we set is so very low. Or we have God as our master, and he rules us by his King, Jesus Christ, the one we've thought about already, who imputes us with his righteousness, who deals with our sin. And you need to come to Jesus Christ as your King. You need to, because you need this gospel we've been talking about for forgiveness of sins. And it's not a weird thing to make Jesus our King, because he is the King. So you're only connecting with reality when you do it. So two opposites, to God or sin. So we have opposite masters. We have opposite terms. The terms and conditions are under wages or a free gift. Under one system, you earn what you get. The other system, you don't. It's free. So under sin, you get wages. And I think most people here, apart from if you're too young, are familiar with wages. We like our wages. Wages is payment for work done. It is an agreed price. You deserve what you get. You earned it. You put the hours in. We call it our earnings. So under sin, if sin is our master, then the conditions and the terms are earnings. You get what you deserve, which is death. And you might think, well, yeah, right, but where did I agree that price? Under the law. The law agrees the price. If you're living under the law, if you're trying to justify yourself, then the payment, the agreed terms, are death. The law shows us what is right and wrong. In a sense, it still guides us if we're not under law but under grace. It still guides us. It holds up a mirror to our failure. But under itself, it has no power to change us. Under itself, we can't reach God. If we live under the law and according to its terms, the result is death. Trying to justify ourselves. Now remember the point of the discussion. If we're not under law but under grace, can we just ignore law entirely then and sin? There's no law to break if we're under law. No. But if we're meeting God on the terms of the law alone, then breaking it, which you will lead to death. It is your wages, your just deserts. But the alternative is, he says, a free gift. It is grace. And notice, it is free and a gift. He uses both words. So free is it doesn't cost anything. It's not a payment. It's not deserved. It's not consequent. There's no consequences of your actions. There is no cost on our behalf. There's nothing you have to pay. And it is a gift. That means there is a giver and a recipient. It is given to you. And the cost, because there is a cost, but it is not borne by you. It's borne by another. And generally, a gift shows love and concern from one to another, from the giver to the recipient. So this is the heart of what Paul has been talking about here, and actually for the whole book. So actually, I'll go back a bit earlier, chapter 3, verse 24. I could go to dozens or more verses like this, 3:24, that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Lots of verses like that already, and more to come in Romans. So the problem is that we sin, that we're ruled by sin, we're addicted to sin, but we're justified. We have this new status, we're declared not guilty. And something about sin now to us is broken. That we're freed from it in some way. And this status is not of your own doing. It is grace. Unadulterated grace. A free gift. It's not even it kind of like a stall that gets you to the height. No, it is totally of grace. Of a free gift. It's a total opposite, isn't it? One thing is worked for, and that's not a good outcome, and the other is free. And you might think, but I don't deserve it. And you'll be right, because that's the point. You don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. That's why it's gracious. It is a free gift. Under sin, you are paid and you got your worth. Death. Under God, there's a free gift. You get more than your worth. Life. And so, for you, the Christian, you can have confidence that you live by faith. Under grace, that you're no longer terrified by the law, which we fail terribly. Often we feel bruised and battered, knowing our past, knowing what lies on our heart sometimes, our struggles with the present. But you're not under law, you're under grace, as we'll think about in a moment. It's not a get out of jail card, it's not that you can do what you want. But it's a motivation to do what's right by grace. You see, you need more grace to carry on living daily the right response. And also, isn't this wonderful news to share with others? Very simple news, but good news to share with others. And if you're still figuring this out, it is a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. The offer stands for everyone. Opposite ends as well. Literally, the two ends are life and death. Now, when we talk about death in the Bible, we have to look at the context, because death has different senses in the Bible. It talks about different things. It could be physical, spiritual, or what we might call the second death. So by physical, we mean that our bodies age and they get ill and they stop. the normal use of death. Sometimes it means spiritual death. That means unresponsive to God, and we need to be brought to life. So it may well be that the heart's pumping and blood's going round, and the lights are on, but spiritually no one's at home. You can prod, and just like a dead person, there is no response. And the other meaning is the second death, which means after death, there is judgment. It doesn't mean that you're unconscious or unaware, but that you're not, you have no experience of God or any of the good things that he has. And it's called sometimes the second death. Now, what is it here? Well, I think what makes most sense in context actually is all three. Because he's been talking about Adam introducing death. So that means we die. We stop working. But also that we are spiritually dead. But you see, all people die, given enough time. All people die. What's bad about death? Well, it is the second death, isn't it? It is talking about hell and judgment. That's the really bad thing. So we're no longer under sin. We're no longer unresponsive to God. A dead person is unresponsive to any other call. If we're under sin, then we're spiritually dead. And physical death is not the worst thing that will happen to you. It gets worse after that. Now, remember the context. The question is, well, is sin okay? Well, Christian, you may be forgiven, but given this is what it's about, and this is where sin leads, and this is what sin deserves, you don't want anything to do with that, do you? Can you even contemplate giving in? A non-Christian person who might be considering this and chewing it over, do you see where the future leads as it stands? It's worth you looking into and being sure about the state that you're in and finding out more. And the opposite to death here is life. Now notice Paul says life, not just non-death or existence. It's not existence, it's life. That's far more positive. Now, not being dead is a thoroughly good thing, but it's not the same as life, which is far better. So just as death is a bigger concept, so life is an opposite one and a bigger one as well. So in Romans, he means awareness and awakeness to God. Fully alive and responsive to him. Before, we were walking corpses. You know, we're moving around, but spiritually, we're clueless as to what life is about. And ultimately, that takes us to being with him in eternity, in eternal life, with new bodies. So God is the source of all good. Now this world, I know we're all fed up at the moment. All our holidays have been cancelled. But the world is a good place, isn't it? There's wonderful places to visit. There's many great things in the world. Many that we'll never see in our lifetimes. But the new creation will be better. It'll be everything that you like about this one, but with none of the things that spoil it. In the new creation, you won't have your holiday cancelled then because of a virus. No viruses. All life is from God. So actually, you are more alive under this other system. The non-Christian is, at the moment, the closest to heaven they'll ever be. This is as good as it ever gets. For the Christian, this is the closest to hell you will ever be. This is as bad as it will ever get. So if you're a Christian, you are alive. Don't live like you're dead. If you're under, not a slave to sin, but a slave to God, then live like you're alive, and not like you're dead and heading to death. If you're not a Christian, there's an offer for life. Also, notice there's a different means as well. I said there were different, there were three opposites, but there's also a means, which is through Jesus Christ. I don't think those words are incidental or just a response. Through Jesus Christ. So all this that we've been talking about is through Jesus Christ. All of God's plan, over and over, you often find that phrase, through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brings it about, or has brought it about. So all that we've been talking about comes through his life, death, resurrection, ascension, heavenly reign. He is the eternal second person of the Trinity. He lived a perfect life, and by faith, that is ours. Yeah, I know you all well enough that your life is not perfect. Enough of that has broken through for me to see. The reality is it's far worse than I've seen. But your life, God sees it through the lens of Jesus Christ. He sees you in his perfection. On the cross, he took our sin onto himself. Took it away from you. Took the consequences on himself. In the resurrection, you're declared not guilty because he's vindicated, you're vindicated. And now he reigns in heaven as our go-between, between us and God. And the Holy Spirit applies this to us. So these opposites we've thought about are opposites because of Jesus Christ and through him. And we take them by faith. We've thought about faith already in Romans, haven't we? It means by trust, by taking him at his word. So then, the master is God, the terms are grace, and the end is life eternal. Now remember, this is a summary of an answer to a question. If we're not under law but grace, then we can sin because there's no law. No! How can we do that? Because we are opposites to where we were. Opposite condition, opposite status, opposite circumstances, an opposite way of seeing the world and life. Now, there's still more we've got to answer on this, which we'll look at next week. Why not sin? Well, look at who you are. Look at what has happened to you. Now, you will sin. I guarantee it. You probably are now. We will sin. And that sin is covered. But we're not to continue in sin as if it was a matter of indifference. And this is a great comfort to the Christian. To work hard at holiness. Yes, it's a free gift. We need to do nothing to receive it. But now we want to work hard at being holy. But we want to do it from the confidence, or from confidence and love, and not fear and uncertainty. But also, isn't this a wonderful gospel to offer to the world? It's not complicated to offer either. I know some people are better at sharing the gospel than others, but it's not complicated, is it? And we can give us confidence to share. Not just because it's beautiful and persuasive, although we found it persuasive, and this is persuasive, and it is wonderful. But you remember back in chapter 1:16, this is power. It's not just that the is persuasive, and perhaps some of us are persuasive in communicating. It is God's power at work in this to persuade people. It's not down to us. And if you're listening in and considering this, this swap can be yours. And so wherever we are, to come to Christ now. I'll pray. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you that although our wages that we've earned is death, you have freely given us life through Jesus Christ. Please give us confidence to come to you, motivation to repent from our sin, to have nothing to do with it. Confidence that when we do sin, it is still covered. And for those still considering and weighing up all these truths about you, that you'd move their hearts to come and find life. We ask in and through Jesus Christ. Amen.